WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Shiri Preston. Israel continuing airstrikes in Beirut today. Ground incursions into Lebanon also continuing. ABC's Marcus Moore is on the ground in Beirut.
We have watched intense fighting on the southern border between Lebanon and Israel, where just a day ago, as many as 8 Israeli soldiers were killed in an ambush. And the fighting we have seen has not subsided. It has only intensified here in recent days.
The fatality count from Hurricane Helene is approaching 200 people, making it the deadliest hurricane to strike the continental U.S. since Katrina. The dock worker strike goes on. 45,000 members of the International Longshoremen's Association tying up cargo shipping along the East and the Gulf Coast. The federal judge overseeing Donald Trump's election interference case has unsealed a filing in response to the Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity. Special counsel Jack Smith arguing Trump acted in a private, not a public capacity on January 6th. This is ABC News. Jury deliberations are expected to begin today in the trial of 3 former police officers in Memphis, all charged in the beating death of a black man at a traffic stop. Tyree Nichols was attacked and killed when he ran from police. ABC Stephanie Ramos.
I spoke with Tyree Nichols' mother, who said that she finds it so difficult to hear the defense try and justify the beating that Tyree Nichols received. She says it's been really, really hard to hear them try and make sense of it all. But she says she's had to be strong this past year and a half for her other adult children. She says, together with the rest of the family, that they are looking forward to a verdict and want those officers held accountable for the excessive use of force.
And the movie Rust is now set for a premiere. It'll happen next month at a film festival in Poland. The screening comes nearly 3 years after cinematographer Helena Hutchins was killed when a gun held by actor Alec Baldwin went off during the rehearsal. The armorer on the film is currently serving 18 months for involuntary manslaughter. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is holding on to a 4-point lead over Donald Trump in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette Law School poll. She leads 52% to 48% with both registered and likely voters. The margin of error is 4.4%. In the U.S. Senate race, Tammy Baldwin leads Eric Hovde by 7 points, also with registered and likely voters alike. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking people not to burn leaves and brush this week. Brittany Merlot explains why.
There's an increased chance of fire danger this week due to the dry weather, gusty winds, and dry vegetation, all ahead of a strong cold front. Burning brush and leaf piles is the number one cause of wildfires in Wisconsin. I'm Brittany Merlot.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Swings and drives one out towards right center. Taylor back, and it's gone! Mitchell, a 2-run homer, and the Brewers have the lead. It's 5-3.
That's what it sounded like on ESPN Radio as the Brewers beat the Mets 5-3 last night. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Today will be Game 3 of the Wild Card Series between the Brewers and the Mets. Jackson Chourio hit 2 home runs, and Garrett Mitchell hit a go-ahead 2-run blast to move the Brewers in front in the win. Manager Pat Murphy said Chourio had a great night.
Yeah, that's pretty special. Yeah, pretty special. A lot of guys contributed tonight. It was, you know, again, you saw what our team's about. what they've been about all year. They didn't quit. They kept every pitch. Yeah, a lot of guys' contributions, but cheerio. Oof.
First pitch tonight is after 6 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play the Phillies on Saturday and Sunday to start the NLDS. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 62 this afternoon. The wind out of the west at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear, calm, and kind of frosty. We'll drop to 32 for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine, 65 on Saturday, sunny and breezy, high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Jane Mattinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, all about election security, what happens to ballots after you cast your vote. Hour number two, Alexander Vindman, should be fascinating. Don't miss it.
Mattinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio on Abashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06. Nice to have you up here on the lake on this Thursday morning, October 3rd. Coming up in just a bit, we've got a couple of more candidates for legislature for you to hear from. Joe Plouffe, a former and perhaps future assembly representative from Western Wisconsin. And then Sarah Kayeski, a candidate for state senate in our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. Brittany Merlot is here as well, our favoritist meteorologist, to tell us what we can expect here, starting, of course, in Tigerton, where Rob says good morning. It's partly cloudy and 47. He notes this is the 11th straight day without rain, the longest stretch since May 1st. I am glad somebody is keeping track of these things for us. Yesterday, he said his trip to Wausau went good. Went to see his lawyer, ate at Pizza Ranch with his sister Lori and nephew Adam, and bought them lunch. And then he noted that Alan O'Day's song Undercover Angel was a favorite top 10 song of his back in 1977. But Brittany, getting back to the 11 straight days without rain, does that check out with you?
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. This dry stretch just continues, too. We've only got a tiny, tiny chance tonight of a few sprinkles or light showers, but it is not enough to help our drought conditions and this dry stretch. So this morning, of course, we've got calmer winds finally. It's crisp out there. Temperatures ranging from about 36 degrees in Black River Falls all the way to 57 in Milwaukee. So a lot of us sitting in those mid-40s. Clear skies, a ton of sunshine to start the day. There is a little bit of mist and fog up and towards Eagle River. Speaking of Eagle River, I think our Cranberry Fest is this weekend. If you've never been to that, you should check that out. But otherwise, this afternoon, clouds increasing as a cold front moves through. Highs are still going to make it to some decent temperatures, mid-70s further south in the state, low 60s further north. And of course, we could see a few of those sprinkles or light showers later on this evening, and then they'll work their way south through the state overnight. But really not a big chunk of rain. We have another chance coming up Saturday night, so hopefully that'll actually put down a quarter of an inch. But it still looks like it could be so dry that it could just evaporate.
Now, we point out that Ms. Merlot is a meteorologist in a general sense. She's not necessarily a sports meteorologist, so please keep this in mind as we ask for her forecast for American Family Field tonight, where the Brewers, after a come-from-behind victory over the Mets, will be playing the third and final game of the wild card round starting at 6 o'clock. Brittany, do you have a forecast for victory from American Ooh. Family Field tonight?
Yes, I think that you're definitely going to win. I think you're going to see some clouds rolling in and everything's going to be just fine because you have that roof.
Love it. Love it. All right.
Wait, yes. This doesn't matter.
No, it does matter. It matters a lot. See, I've got an extra uplift. Greg's got his Brewer t-shirt. I'm in my Brewer's hoodie over here. We are ready for this game, and we just needed one person forecasting a Brewer victory to really put the cherry on top of the day.
100%.
So thank you for that. All right. Appreciate that. Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. Don't forget, you can sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. Stories today include more alcohol-free bars across Wisconsin that are serving all kinds of tasty concoctions that allow you to imbibe, but not really imbibe. We talk about school speed limit zones and also the specific housing plans of Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Trump. Again, for all that and more, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. And yeah, if you missed it last night, like me, if you went to bed early, the Brewers had been down 3-2 until a magical eighth inning when Jackson Churio hit his second home run of the game to tie things up. Willie Adames got on base, and then Garrett Mitchell hit the game-winning home run in the eighth inning. Devin Williams was able to put the Mets down 1-2-3 in the ninth and force a deciding wild card game in that best-of-three series. Again, that's at American Family Field. 6 o'clock, 6:08 will be the first pitch. Pre-game will be at 5:30 on Civic Media Stations WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. All right, let's turn our attention to some of these races for the legislature. Again, it's Sarah Kieske will be here coming up on Women Win Wisconsin. But we can't forget the many fine gentlemen who are running for office as well, including former and perhaps future Assembly Representative Joe Plouffe from the Menominee area. Joe Plouffe, good morning. How are you?
I am so well here in Menominee, Wisconsin, not far from Lake Wissota, where I was knocking on doors yesterday afternoon. And I tell you, Pat, it was pretty windy over there.
Yes, it was. You had to hold on to that literature tight. Otherwise, you were going to be flooding the zone in ways that you didn't intend. But I have to say, and most people do, I loved the door knocking. Now, this was, again, this was like 15 years ago, something like that. Maybe it's a different world out there, but are you still enjoying the door knocking, talking to voters one by one as you campaign for this newly drawn district?
Oh, I really do. I have always enjoyed door knocking. And what it does is it allows not only potential constituents to get an idea of who I might be or other candidates for that matter, but it gives us an idea of what's going on in the district and who it is that we will be representing. And that is so valuable. The stories you hear at the door are so reflective of our whole community. It's positive. We are very lucky to be living in West Central Wisconsin, and our constituents do know that. They want this good life to continue, Pat.
Oh, without a doubt they do. Let's talk about the district for a moment, because, again, we're working under new maps that aren't nearly as gerrymandered as they used to be. But it means folks have really had to get used to, you know, what district they might be in now, which might involve their current legislator, and it might not. And I have to say, it is a little confusing here up in Chippewa Falls or just north of Chippewa Falls, because I'm in a newly drawn assembly district that stretches way up north. It's kind of a beast. And yours is a much more compact. Is that the one that's like the rectangle kind of in the Highway 29 area? How do you describe the district?
It is. And you're exactly right. It is rectangular. It runs from the city of Menominee, the township of Menominee, all the way to the city of Chippewa Falls. And then it takes a right-hand turn. It goes down into the Lake Halley area, and then a slight little area of the city of Eau Claire near the airport.
Yeah, something that can be driven and walked, much more so than some of these other districts. That as you get into these rural areas, I mean, you're in the car all day if you want to get around those.
Exactly, and what I found is I bought myself an e-bike. And
oh, nice.
I tell you, I am doing doors out in the Lake Halley area, or the later today I'll be out in Red Cedar Township and or the town of Menominee around Cedar Falls. And that e-bike allows me so much more efficiency. I can get from door to door much quicker. And actually, My wife may not like this, but a lot fewer steps I take. So therefore, there's some benefits that I might not be seeing as normally.
Well, it's a balancing act, more doors versus more steps. And right now you're at the phase where you maybe need more doors. I do recall back in 2010, losing 15 pounds that summer from all of the door knocking that I did. Folks might find this hard to believe. The 15 pounds came back pretty quickly. If you were permanently campaigning or, I don't know, walking for fitness, it might stay that way. Joe, obviously every candidate has their own particular priorities, platforms, positions, but let's start with the other side of the door. What do you hear? What gets brought up first and foremost for those folks that do answer the door and do want to chat with you?
It's the economy. And it is, surprisingly, it's the long-term economy. It's not the short-term that, you know, a president handles over 4 years or a governor over 4 years or even two terms, 8 years for an economy that goes back to former President Trump and into Biden. It's the long-term economy that people are beginning to sense is truly rigged against them. And that is almost an awakening. They're beginning to see that, you know, our union jobs numbers are down to 6%, I believe, in Wisconsin, whereas it used to be 30. Life was a lot better when people were making a lot more money with benefits, with insurance, and retirement. Today, people are worried about their kids not having a retirement plan in the future. Remember, we in the 1980s, we got all involved in this trickle-down economics. Well, I think people are beginning to sense that they have been trickled down enough.
I think they've been trickled upon, perhaps, is how maybe they feel about this. And we hear this, and it comes up frequently in interviews like these, but it's nice to have it reinforced that people are thinking about, you know, they're thinking about their economic circumstances far more than some of the more divisive issues that get brought up. And I would imagine for you that includes, I mean, the big ones that come up frequently are, you know, affordable child care, affordable health care, paid family leave. When it comes to affordable health care, that would include, you know, strengthening Badger Care and expanding that. I'm sure there's others there that I've missed, but that's at least the beginning of the short list of issues that it would seem to me people want their legislator to be working on.
Those are all issues that are classical bread and butter type issues that have been discussed over the years, but they're hitting home. I'm finding at the door that many times I find grandparents that have moved moved into the community basically to support their children's children's daycare needs.
Oh, sure.
It is huge. I talked to one gentleman and he has, three children, I believe, and one child is $280 a week. Mm-hmm. Well, how much of a retirement system can this person put together for his senior years and his spouse's combined?
Right. Yep.
If you're paying that kind of child care in your 30s.
Exactly. Joe.
It doesn't work. It's rigged.
Joe Plouffe is here with us. He's running for state assembly in West Central Wisconsin. We're going to continue that conversation with Joe in just a moment. First, a reminder, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women. Even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington, has changed her. And now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community. And look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants. And even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio on this Thursday morning. It's October 3rd, and a reminder that our new political director, Dan Schaefer, from the Recombobulation Area, has put together a voter guide, and you can find that over at civicmedia.us, and that includes a rundown of all 115 legislative races that are going on out there, all of them. Dan Schaefer has that. Read it over at civicmedia.us. Coming up today at noon on the Todd Alba Show, Todd is going to be broadcasting from the Little White Schoolhouse in Ripon, getting set for the appearance by Vice President Kamala Harris and former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, longtime Republican critic of one Donald Trump. And quite a message they'll be sending from the birthplace of the Republican Party today, Liz Cheney, along with Kamala Harris and Todd Alba. We'll have that as well coming up on his show at noon. Joe Plouffe, a state assembly candidate, joins us once again from the Menominee area, where he is a former assembly rep looking to run into a newly drawn seat that's in there. And Joe, there are, again, with 115 of these races, you know, 99 in the assembly, 16 in the Senate, I believe is how it breaks down. And so you can only so many of them are targeted races, races that could determine if Democrats, after well over a decade, finally can once again take control of the state assembly. Your district appears to be one of them. It's a fairly purple area. Tell us what it is that, you know, you need to do and what voters need to hear in order to make the case that the assembly should not be in Republican control anymore after more than a decade.
Well, it's, you know, again, we're back to the whole idea of a rigged economy in a rigged system. The Republicans have gerrymandered themselves into a position, whereas there is no Democratic alternative. There's no opposition. The Republicans do whatever they want to do. And they do it on a sliding scale. An example, remember when Act 10 came to be, Governor Scott Walker and his Republican-controlled legislature basically destroyed public unions in the state. And at time, they said, oh, no, we're not going to do any more. No, we won't do any more. And within a year, maybe two, they had started attacking and going after the private unions as well through Wisconsin's right to work statutes that they passed. Well, the same thing happens with Medicare and with health care. The GOP legislature, they and the governor did not want to expand the federal government's hand in allowing more Medicaid expansion into the state of Wisconsin. They haven't, you know, we're one of, what, 10 states, I think, now that have not accepted that benefit, federal benefit. And the problem becomes is that fewer and fewer people have the ability to be insured. And that leads in part, not always, but in part to the closure of these two hospitals in our area. And it's not just the hospitals. We have a real problem and we have to shift our thoughts. I lived up in Prairie Farm for quite a while. And what we found up there is all of a sudden the hospitals up in the that northwestern segment were no longer going to provide birthing centers. Then all of a sudden the birthing centers became the Menominee Hospital. All of a sudden, the Menominee Hospital is no longer providing birthing centers. The birthing centers became Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire. Well, we know what happened last spring.
Mm-hmm.
The rigged system is no longer working. We have to admit it. We have to say something different has to be done. And I'm not so certain that my policies that I'm being attacked on, that I promoted 25 years ago, are all that radical any longer.
Well, that's right. You know, you raise an interesting point that there is a Republican ad that runs and talks about, you know, the state of things now. And as I'm looking at them attacking you, I'm thinking, well, wait, who's been in charge of the legislature for the past, you know, 14 years now? So the attacks seem to ring a little hollow, but as you and I both know, if you put enough money behind the ads, you know, that's the kind of message that's going to stick. But that's why it's worth noting that in the case of these Chippewa Valley hospitals, what is it the legislature is sitting on right now? Is it $15 million, I think, for the hospitals, for Chippewa Valley Healthcare? Go ahead.
It is $15
million. Yeah.
And the legislature has held on to that since January. They just won't work with the governor. I would be very interested in knowing what the phone calls were from Representative Moses, who's the chair of the Assembly Health Committee. How many phone calls did he make to the governor's office in that period of time, asking and working with the governor for solutions for those two hospitals? I suspect zero. I suspect a lot of holy pictures were taken at that time. Very little effort to work with one another.
Oh, there was a lot of saying the right words, but in terms of actions, if you actually wanted to show that, you know, you gave a rip about the healthcare situation in the Chippewa Valley, you would find a way to make this work. You would try to be essentially, you know, an arbiter between Governor Evers, who wants more flexibility in the use of those dollars, versus the Robin Voss position of, you know, whatever it takes to screw over Tony Evers, even if it means we sit on $15 million that could have gone toward the health care there. So for this issue and a host of others, Joe Plouffe is running for state assembly. What's the district number?
92.
The 92nd district up there, because I know they moved the lines around a bit. So, Joe Plouffe, thank you so much for visiting with us about that. We will continue to follow the race. Best of luck. Safe travels on that e-bike now, okay?
Thank you much, Pat, and good luck to you.
All right, there you go. Thank you much. All right, we'll turn to Sarah Kieski, a candidate for state senate as part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. That's coming up in just a moment. This is Up North News Radio, a presentation of Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Live from Lake Wasota, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Well, we're meeting all kinds of folks at World Dairy Expo 2024, including those farms impacted by the recent Hurricane Helene. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. One of those, Harry Ott. He is the president of the South Carolina Farm Bureau Federation, and he says Hurricane Helene came at the worst time for a lot of farmers and caused a lot of damage.
The cotton crop probably sustained the worst damage. We were right at the beginning of cotton harvest, which means it had all opened and was ready to be picked. That doesn't bode well for wind and rain. Those that hadn't completed their corn harvest, that corn will be flat on the ground now, so it will not get harvested. It's going to be damaged to particularly, I would say, cotton and peanuts on the commodity side. We've had reports of poultry houses being blown down. A lot of trees blown over.
Harry Ott, he's the president of the South Carolina Farm Bureau Federation, visiting World Dairy Expo. He said that right now their South Carolina Farm Bureau insurance expects to see more than 3,500 claims from farms in South Carolina alone, expecting losses now up to $75 million.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
And Wisconsin farms represented very well at the 40th annual World Forage Super Bowl. Yesterday, Meadowbrook Dairy from Manitowoc was named the Grand Champion Forage Producer. For their efforts, they were presented a $2,500 check. We also had Nettleman Farms from Bangor, Grand Champion Baleage category. And congratulations to Horsens Homestead Dairy in Cecil, Grand Champion in the BMR Corn Silage category. That's a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 62 this afternoon. The wind out of the west at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear, calm, and kind of frosty. We'll drop to 32 for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine, 65 on Saturday, sunny and breezy, high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's our Popcorn Pick of the Week, brought to you by Poppin' Z's Popcorn. And I'm joined by Milwaukee filmmaker Ezekiel Drews and Festival Theater's Jesse March.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
As we know, the New Marquette poll had some good news for Vice President Kamala Harris and for Senator Tammy Baldwin in their respective races. Again, nothing to get complacent about, but certainly nothing to cause them to hit any panic buttons either. I'll tell you what, who's got a better take on this? Dan Schaefer. He's got a write-up about it over at civicmedia.us. Yes, the same place where you find Dan Schaefer's voter guide. You can also get his latest on the Marquette poll, again, civicmedia.us. If you'd like to learn a lot more about our next guest, Sarah Kieski, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, where there is a very extensive biography on her upbringing in Wisconsin and what led her to run for state senate. But to learn a bit more about it, how about we talk to her directly? And let's do that with our friend Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. Kate, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good. Kate, you are cranking them out, man. There's videos. I saw a live video the other day you were doing with Luann Bird, another candidate. Yeah. You're unboxing merchandise, which is out there. I got a photo from my daughter with her new sweatshirt that says support local elections. You guys are a force out there.
We are a force, and we're having like kind of little events all over the place too.
Oh, the debate watch party. Yeah, we saw you there too.
Yeah, I know. We've been all over the place. Like, if I'm sure he's not listening, but thank you to my husband for helping with the children. It is a very crazy, not that it's not helping with the children, but you know, really stepping up in this season where things are really busy. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's go time now. We're throwing everything at the wall. We're all over the place. We're doing a lot.
Yep. Stepping up is definitely the way to look at it, because that's something that some of these candidates are doing as well. And that's what brings us to a return visit from Sarah Kieski, who's running for state senate in the 14th district. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am so good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That is the look of a candidate who is very happy doing what she's doing, which, you know, and Joe Plouffe in the last half hour, same thing. Knocking on doors is actually really nice. You know, if the weather's nice and, you know, people are overwhelmingly nice, again, not 100%, but overwhelmingly nice. And it's good to get that out. And there's nothing in your background, Sarah, that says you wouldn't enjoy doing exactly what you're doing.
No, my background is really all about service. And so I'm a mental health provider. So I started early on learning about service as a kid that grew up on a dairy farm in Cashton, Wisconsin. And that was emulated by my parents. My parents were, you know, doing mission trips and crop walks and participating in helping other farmers if there was an injury or a need. That was just sort of the ethic that I grew up with. And so when I then pursued a career, I decided my own way to serve would be being a mental health provider. And then lo and behold, this is my new way to try to serve a greater audience, if you will, which is exciting, it's daunting, it's exhausting, and it's invigorating.
Well, I like how in the article on our website, you talk about something that gave you inspiration when times were getting kind of rough out there. And it was a quote from Joan Baez, who advised, quote, action was the antidote to despair. Seems like pretty good words to live by in this day and age.
Yeah, it was powerful for me. I was struggling personally with the downturn of civil decency with the 45th president being in power. And that was really difficult for me because I could see the angst in people and the division that it was kind of seeding in between family members, neighbors, and even relationships, you know, like husband, wife. And then COVID happened, and that was even harder. It was just draining and anxiety producing. And I was struggling, carrying the weight of that, like, you know, for my clients, for myself, for my family. And so, you know, my adage is nobody wants a depressed therapist. So I had to figure out, well, what am I going to do to make sure that I'm mentally well and strong and vibrant? And so I found that quote, and it was really the thing that kind of catapulted me into, okay, I've been serving in this way, but it's not enough. I need to do more, and I need to be on the front lines of trying to do something to help my community. So that's what instigated this idea that I had to start a nonprofit Actually, it was not even to start a nonprofit. My idea was, let's get this idea of how about if we all collectively come together in Lodi and work on uplifting our community. This was in 2020, the idea. And I just wanted us to build bridges. I wanted us to all work on something that we all cared about, which is our surroundings, this little town that we live in of 3,000 people. And lo and behold, it turns out you have to create a nonprofit to do that, to get any money. And so I had to kind of figure that out. And it became a nonprofit called Lift Lodi. And our community just rallied. And it was all ages and all ethnic groups, although we're, you know, sadly not nearly as diverse as I wish we were. All religions, all political aspirations. And the first year we had 200 people show up. And it was oriented to, let's clean out the garbage in our Spring Creek. Let's wash the windows at our library. Let's plant the flowers at our post office. Let's put the bark under the tree, or excuse me, under the swing sets at our primary school. Let's plant some trees for shade at our elementary. So it was this idea. Oh, and the biggest one was really, how do we help our neighbors, especially our elderly and people that might have handicaps. And so it was raking their yard, cleaning out their bushes, painting their fences. So that was really kind of the start. 200 people came out the first year, 250 people came out the second year. And so it told me, and it gave me sort of this renewed belief in people that I always knew. I see people all the time. People care about people. People want to be connected. People want to do good things. But I think it was helping everybody else see it too. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to sort of help activate what was needed and gave this a little boost, I guess, in our community. But then people asked, well, could you do something else? And that's when I got asked to run for state assembly. This was before the maps were changed. I was asked to do state assembly. It was a race that I couldn't win. It was an 18-point Republican majority in the gerrymandered district that it was at the time. But when I heard that was a different way to serve, it was a way to make sure we got out the vote. It was a way to make sure that we got a progressive message out there. It was a way to be sure that we got a Democrat reelected in the Senate and elected in the presidential race. You know, I offered to do it.
Yeah.
And then things changed.
And we're so thankful you did. And that race last time led to this race this time where, you know, we have new maps, so you have a really good shot. And I love you talking about action as the antidote to despair. We talk about that in our community a lot. And we have a lot of young moms who are already so busy, and being engaged in politics or helping with elections, we try to talk about, like, we're not meaning to be one more thing on your plate, but if you just incorporate it in a way that feels authentic to you, it actually, like, it is another thing, but if you do it in a way that works with your life, it actually can add a lot to your life, and it helps with mental health, just because, yeah, you feel like you're doing something and making a difference. And I would argue that, I mean, I'm sure, not argue with you, you'd probably agree with this, your background, like as a mental health counselor too, you know, you're working on harm reduction there. And this is just like another aspect of harm reduction, is helping out your communities, right? Tell us a little bit more about that district and what is important to the people. I know you mentioned Lodi. I think it's like central Wisconsin, just west of Dane County, right? Tell us a little bit about the district and what you're hearing from folks. What are some of the main priorities for you and what you're hearing at the doors and your neighbors and community members?
Sure. So originally that district that I mentioned that I was running for, after the maps, that became quite a nice Democratic district. But the Senate district changed also, and it became really kind of a 50-50, a very purple district instead of being purely Republican, which was really exciting. And I got asked to then step up and run for that. That district has the northern part of Dane, so it's a very small sliver of Dane County, and like DeForest and Windsor, goes up into Columbia County, most of that. It goes all the way into all of Sauk County, all of Richland County, a bit of Juneau, the southern part, and a bit of Adams County, and one little township in Verona, which is Viola. And so the thing that I've learned and the thing that makes me so excited to work hard to represent this district is that it is suburban, but very rural. And given I grew up on a small dairy farm and I know rural life, like representing people, like the people I grew up with, my neighbors, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins, that really excites me because I feel, you know, unfortunately, rural Wisconsinites haven't gotten quite the voice that they need and should have, especially with the Democratic Party. So I'm excited. What I hear is housing is a big issue, mental health on both sides of the aisle. I hear people really resonating with the fact that I'm a mental health provider and seeing the deep need to address our mental health crises. We have an overabundance, a tragedy of farmers committing suicide. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that we're really addressing those important issues of isolation and the economic issues. And so I think economic viability is another piece, making sure our small towns are rich and vibrant, having small businesses, having our farms, again, be supported, and our schools. I think that's the other thing, our public schools, making sure that we really have good educational opportunities and aren't having to consolidate all our small schools, but able to have like the rich uniqueness of each of these small schools that kind of builds the community, really. So those are main things that I hear on the doors.
It's funny that, you know, people think that there's a certain kind of orthodoxy in rural voters on certain issues. And yet I feel like we're seeing a change now because people think, well, every rural voter must be all about, you know, the Second Amendment. Well, no, they're gun owners, but they also want their kids to be safe at school. And for women who have been voting there, maybe typically Republican all their lives, they see the Dobbs decision and say, I'd rather like to control my body. They look at school spending and say, all this money goes to voucher schools. I don't have that option here in a rural area. It looks to be helping kids in the suburbs. I sense, Sarah, that we're seeing a real shifting dynamic in what you would think of as the typical rural voter.
Yeah, you know, I've got to be honest, I wasn't sure what to expect. And I was concerned, too, that it might be like myopic, you know, in that way. About like maybe guns, let's say. It's not. People are really recognizing we need to do all we can, especially for the next generation. People care about their kids. People want their daughters to have choices. They want their children to not be afraid to go to school because we're having to, you know, consider arming teachers, which is, you know, just devastating for most people to think that that's where we've gotten instead of being able to say, maybe we need more gun safety instead of more people packing. They're talking about one of the things that's been really interesting too is how frustrated, and I hear this again on both sides of the aisle, how frustrated they are to see government not work. To see so much political divide, to see so much loggerhead, unwillingness to compromise, unwillingness to seek solutions, gaveling in, gaveling out, just because there's a majority of Republicans in the Senate right now and in the Assembly, they're tired of that. They're really frustrated. They're like, "We're paying your salaries. You guys need to be working." And I'm like, "I agree." And so there's an irritation of that because they're out there, right, working hard, working on the farm, making sure that they're, you know, doing their crops and their animals. And they're seeing people in politics just kind of like gaveling out of the loud and like, "Oh, we're not going to even talk about these hard issues." They're ticked. And I'm like, "Yep, me too. That's one of the reasons why I'm running."
Yeah. And you can, like I said, read much more about it on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Look for the article about Sarah Kieske and her run for state Senate from that area. Sarah, always great to catch up with you. A few minutes where you get to catch your breath before another busy day of activity. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I really love being able to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Oh, good luck, Sarah. Good luck. Thank you for watching.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Kate, same with you, or motherhoodforgood.com on Instagram, on Facebook, all kinds of things happening. Just go look.
Yeah.
Thanks for what you're doing, Kate.
Yep. These two never rest. Luke Mathers joins us next. You're up north.
Raise the vibration and make a better place for The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly, so get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Well, anybody that heard me talking on Todd Alba's show yesterday is not surprised to hear that we're happy to welcome back to the program the Squire of Civic Media, Luke Mathers. Mr. Mathers, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. It's always interesting when I get several different people telling me I got to go check out a segment because my name gets invoked when I'm not present.
Well, here was how it started. It was Todd Alba again describing Aaron Zdommers always as doing yeoman's work. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what the heck is a yeoman anyway? I mean, I know the term. Went and looked it up, and it's like it's somewhere between, in olden days, somewhere between like a governor and a squire. And I'm like, well, okay, so if Aaron Zdommers is the yeoman, who's the squire? Because we know Sage would be the governor. And I thought, well, you must be the squire of Civic Media. If Aaron Zdommers is the yeoman, seems to make sense to me.
It's very flattering, Pat. And see, you did exactly what my mother used to always tell me. If I didn't know what it was, I got to go look it up. And there so I did go. Not know either. It's just like that's a common phrase that Todd uses when mm-hmm. when there's a lot of work to be done. And Mr. Zdommers, his producer, doing an excellent job with all of that work. But I had been lazy, Pat, and I had just kind of accepted the it is a Todd Alba-ism. And I didn't look
Did
it up
you
myself.
Think he made up the word yeoman?
No, I knew it was a word, Greg.
We trusted him. There was definitely
was,
trust.
It was more like, oh, yeah, I kind of know what you're talking about. Sure.
It sounds complimentary when you said
yeah,
he's doing
it.
Yes.
It didn't seem mean.
It's why you, so it's why you have to look it up, because it's like, hey, wait a minute. Maybe he's actually calling me a goof-off or something, you know? Mr. Mathers advertises himself on screen today as big fan of Jackson Churio. Greg Bach identifies himself on screen as big fan of Luke Mathers. Greg Bach, you win in today's contest of lower third supers on screen. So, because Mr. Mathers continues to be handsome and talented and capable, but guess what? So is that Churio kid.
About. Jackson Churio taking care of business. That's the that is the well, two home runs last night.
Let's not forget Grant Mitchell too, baby.
Oh, I know.
Garrett did an excellent job. It's okay.
Garrett,
like phenomenal work there, but like getting the team back into the ball game with like a leadoff home run to start. Like I believe youngest MLB player ever to have a leadoff home run in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Like That's incredible. And then to follow it up in the eighth inning, where you see kind of in the stadium, it looked like there was some odds setting in for Brewers fans that it was going to be very similar to how previous playoff runs ended. And it felt very heavy watching the game last night. And to come up in the bottom of the eighth inning, down a run, and already have credited for the first run for the Crew, to knock another one out opposite side of the field, it was incredible. I was up and just cheering and screaming at the television. Both my older siblings were there. I kept texting my older brother, because when you got the view of any of the right-handed batters in the box, he was there in the upper left-hand corner. So I kept texting him. I was like, I see you. And so it was really cool to really just see the Brewers take care of business. Jackson Churio just doing so much. And then Garrett Mitchell putting him over the top for the win.
I was at a show last night, and I was watching the updates on my phone on Google. And at one point, I just put my arm, I go, yes! And someone goes, what's up? And Frank Caitlin goes, the Brewers just won.
Well, I will be in Milwaukee tonight, not at the game, but at a different previously scheduled event. And I don't doubt that at this particular event, a whole lot of people will be just kind of like me, sneaking a peek at our watch or at our phone, and you'll probably see hopefully some fist pumps or something like that. So I don't envy anybody having to deal with traffic in Milwaukee tonight. So please plan accordingly, whatever event it is that you might be going to, because it's a big night. I mean, yeah, granted the season could end, but this could be a nice advancement if we can get past. It's the New York Mets, for crying out loud. We should be able to do this.
Yes.
Greg, who did you upset to get a presidential visit from both major nominees, the Comedy Fest and Brewers playoffs, all in the same week?
Right? Oh, I'm glad you brought up the Comedy Fest. That's only happening for me now and Sunday. Go to mkecomedyfest.com for more information. But I think I upset, I don't know, and I'm just going to throw out a blanket apology. I'm sorry.
There it is. Yeah, sometimes it's important to throw those ones out there. Yes. But speaking of that, we've got the vice president coming to Ripon, Wisconsin this afternoon.
In the most passive-aggressive move of the entire presidential campaign, coming to the birthplace of the Republican Party with Liz Cheney this afternoon.
Do you think that's more passive-aggressive than filling the Pfizer forum at the same time the DNC was going on?
Has been a campaign of passive-aggressiveness, and I am here for it.
I don't know if this one tops that, Pat. So I don't know.
It's pretty Midwestern.
Yes, it is. It's
a good one, but
there's a lot to like about this.
You're going to get full coverage of it here on Civic Media, so you want to stay tuned throughout the afternoon. Our news and political team will be bringing you those updates of the vice president's campaign stop in Ripon. So it's going to be a jam-packed week. We've got a lot going on.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because my show description here for Matt and Air on Air says Jane and Greg will have a jam-packed show this Thursday.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And today, my friends, is Thursday. I should have to do this. There we go. Just also doing another job. Yes, at 10:33, we're going to have Professor Michael Wagner on the show. And then we also will have Alexander Vindman, who is a retired United States.
Wait, that Alexander Vindman?
Yes.
That Alexander Vindman.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll be talking about all, basically what happens in a Trump presidency and to national security and things of that nature. And, of course, we got sports. And this shouldn't be a thing at 11:50, so tune in.
All right, Greg Bach is back at 10 o'clock for that. Luke Mathers will be glued to a baseball game later this evening, 5:30. Pregame begins on stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. Thanks to all of you for joining us as well. Always deeply appreciated. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram joins me in studio. The fallout from the Jack Smith filing continues, plus Vice President Kamala Harris in Wisconsin. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin early next month down in Baraboo. Charo, what is the secret? Is it the music? Is it the dancing? Are your shows what keep you young?
Yes, I will never get old while music is alive.
Yeah.
You got to move it, move it. I have ants in my pants. I had to move.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.